That's a very good question to ask everyone. Is there room in your heart for a king? Because at this time of the year, it seems to me that most people really around our countryside, I was coming past the Antrim, that shopping center there this evening on the way here, absolutely packed out with people. People busy and all sorts of things. If you ask them, what is the main thing about Christmas, or what comes into your head whenever you think about Christmas, they're probably all going to say, aren't they, their presents and parties and holidays and money, food and drink and all the rest of it. And you know, it's very hard to get past a lot of these things because they hit you every moment of the day nearly. When you open the newspaper, they open or turn on the television, the advertisements. It's all you need for Christmas. Is there room in your heart for a king? That's never mentioned, of course. And there are just 3 or 4 shopping days to Christmas. But let's be clear, a lot of people like it like that, don't they? A lot of people want it that way. They'll say, oh, go on, it's Christmas, let your hair down. Wasn't Friday night the biggest night for drinking and the whole of the year? Have a good time. At the end of it all, what is there to show for it? Do you know that in January they tell us that solicitors, divorce lawyers have their busiest time in January, the busiest time of the year in January, because so many people fall out over Christmas. So many couples decide to separate over Christmas. And that's a fact that I was reading about it there one day. So many people fall out over Christmas. What is there to show for it all? So I want us to remind ourselves of the wonder and the beauty of what this season is all about, and to think about it in a number of different ways, very, very quickly and very simply. First of all, think of a promise. Now, there are a lot of people make promises at this time of the year, and of course they don't keep them, and they've no intention of keeping them. They say to people on the way past, I'll be around to visit you, but they never make it. Or I will get you this particular present, but they don't get round to it. And so many promises, of course, will be broken. But Valerie read in Isaiah chapter 9 of the greatest promise that anyone could ever be made, that wonderful promise that God made. All through the Old Testament, over and over again, the promise of the coming of a Messiah, the promise of the coming of a Savior. A virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. God's promise. God in love and mercy promised to send a Savior. Isn't it wonderful to remember that promise was kept so wonderfully? It took a long time. It was a long time. It was hundreds of years. But yet God, in the fullness of time, at the right time, it was the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman. So at this time of the year, whenever people make you promises, or maybe you make promises to other people, I hope you keep yours. But whenever you think of a promise, think of this promise. Think of the promise of God to send a Savior, and the coming of Jesus. But then I want you, secondly, to think of a place, to think of Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, but you, Bethlehem, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel. Bethlehem, that little village, but yet it was the city of David. It was this place where David, the great king, lived. And even going back further than that, it was a place that Jacob buried Rachel when she died, having Benjamin, her second son. The one promised by Isaiah would come and was be born in Bethlehem. It was because, of course, the Roman emperor had said there had to be a census, there had to be had to find out how many people there were. And so Joseph came with Mary, and that's where her child was born. So whenever you think tonight, think of Christmas, think of that place. Think of the place where David, Israel's greatest king, lived, but think of the place where Jesus was born. And as we sing "Once in Royal David's City," remember, that's Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. A promise, a place, but a person. The place was Bethlehem, but who was the child? Of course, many, many babies are born every day and throughout the world, and each one, of course, is different. But Mary's son was so wonderfully different, wasn't he? Because he was God's son. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. He had been with his Father in heaven, and now he had come to earth, born of a woman, the very Son of God, the very Son of God. Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Who is he in yonder stall? The Lord of glory. So think of a person tonight. Think of God's only Son come into the world. But think of a purpose. You know, many gifts will be given which are not really suitable for the person who receives them. Perhaps the shirt won't fit, or the pullover's too big, and the queue at the returns counter in Marks and Spencer's and these big stores after Christmas will be the biggest queue you can find. People taking things back that didn't suit or didn't do this or didn't do that. I was listening on the radio the other day, and a man said, "Really, what's the point?" He said, at his age, and this would apply to me, "What's the point at his age of buying him anything more, because the house is coming down with stuff. The house is coming down with stuff." But why did Jesus come? We forget, I think. Or we don't emphasize it enough. Mary was told, "You shall call his name Jesus." She wasn't allowed to pick her own name for her son. "You shall call his name Jesus." Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. This is the one thing that everyone must acknowledge. What do you need? If somebody said to you, "What do you need? What do you want your wife to buy you? What do you want your son to buy you? What do you want? What do you need?" I'll tell you what we all need, without exception. We need to be saved. We need to be saved. You need to be saved, and I need to be saved, because your sin has separated you from God, and so has mine. And the wonderful thing about Christmas, of course, is that Jesus came with that special purpose to save his people. Let me ask you tonight, when you think of all the things that maybe you'll get over this incoming week, or the things that maybe you'd like to get, the one thing that you need more than anything, and I need more than anything, is to be saved. Do you know your sins forgiven? Do you know peace with God? Do you know that Jesus came to save sinners, and that you're a sinner, and he has actually saved you? Has he saved you tonight? Not your neighbor, you. Has he saved you tonight? So whenever you think of Christmas, be clear about the purpose of it all. He came to save. You know, we sing the carols, and you hear people singing them endlessly, and what do many people make of them? "Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now you need not fear the grave. Peace, peace." Why? Because Jesus Christ was born to save. Jesus Christ was born to save. Has he saved you tonight? That's what he came to do. Maybe you'll get a present on Christmas morning and you'd look at it and think to yourself, why did so-and-so give me this? Now, it was my wife, and she wrapped up a big sponge, you know. Whenever I would open it, I would know immediately why she gave it to me. She wants me to wash the car more often. Things like that. Or was something, you see, something like that that you would have absolutely clear. There's a message behind it. But Jesus came to save. Jesus came to save. Haven't we a wonderful message? Haven't we a wonderful Savior? Is he your Savior tonight? Does Jesus mean more to you than anything else? But not only did Jesus, the purpose of coming to save, I want you to think about the pardon that he gives. Because you see, the Lord Jesus came with a purpose to save his people. This means that the awful penalty due to us because of our sin is taken away by him. He died in our place on Calvary. And because he died, we can know that pardon. We can know that our sins are forgiven. We can know that we are reconciled with God. Nothing, you see, nothing that you can be given or I can be given that out of this world will take away our sin and bring us to God. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus. In him there is pardon. In him there is forgiveness. But lastly, think of peace. You know, along with all the goings on day by day, you hear people saying it's a very stressful time of the year. Very stressful time. Well, why is it such a stressful time? The angels spoke of peace, didn't they? Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace on all his people. How many cards have you, whenever you go back to your house, look and see how many cards have got the word peace on it, on the card. I'm sure there are quite a few. But then people will say, but it never happened. I've already said that so many couples fall out over Christmas, and there's so much trouble in the world, there's so much fighting, there's so much hatred. What's all this talk about peace? But you see, there is peace in the hearts and lives of all those who have trusted in Jesus. Whenever you've trusted in him and him alone, then there is peace. There's peace with God. Because our sin has been taken away and we have been reconciled to God. Nothing could be more wonderful than this. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, how is it found? The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. The blood of Jesus, his precious blood cleanses from every stain. So think of peace tonight. In this incoming week, I hope you won't get stressed out. Ladies, I hope you don't get stressed out in the kitchen. I'll not get stressed out in the kitchen, as you probably understand. But I hope you don't get stressed out in the kitchen. But the peace that Jesus gives, the peace that Jesus gives, let Christmas truly be a time of peace because of all that the Lord Jesus means to each one of his people. My peace I give unto you, he said. Let not your heart be troubled. So what do you think about then at Christmas time? What's especially in your head? What goes over and over in your head? Is it about the turkey, the mince pies, the presents? Well, stop. Think of Jesus. Think of the promise of his coming. God said he would send a wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. Think of the place where he was born, Bethlehem. Think of the person who came, the very Son of God, the one who would come and die in our room and in our stead. Think of the purpose he came for. Oh, on Christmas morning, think of the purpose of the coming of Jesus to save you. If you are saved, then rejoice. If you're not saved tonight, well, turn with all your heart to Jesus. Think of the pardon that he gives to his people, sins forgiven. And think of the peace that is ours in him, the peace that passes all understanding. Think of these things this Christmas. I know that you'll have other things that you have to cope with as well, but think about these things this Christmas. And may the joy of Christmas be yours. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this time of the year. We thank you for all that the coming of the Lord Jesus means to his people. We pray that you would continue to speak to us, everyone, and anyone tonight yet who knows not the Savior, even in this house, that they might, Lord, see their need of him, see the beauty of Jesus and the awfulness of their sin, and turn with all their heart to him. Oh, bless us, Lord, we pray. And may this time in these days be a time of rich blessing in all our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.